If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at the subject of spiritual gifts this morning. Or begin that. And for this morning, we'll just look at verses 4 through 11 to start off with. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit by the word, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every one, to every man severally as he will. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank for the blessing it is that we can gather together this morning. Father, I pray for many that aren't with us today due to either traveling or sickness or surgery. We thank you, Father, for each of them, and I pray that you would bless them as many are home watching on the live stream. I just pray that that would go well and that they would receive a blessing even though they can't assemble with us. Father, I pray for the requests that were mentioned this morning for Brother Brandon's aunt. Father, with the heart attack that she had, I pray that you would be with her. I pray that you would just help her body to heal and recover from that. Father, I pray you be with her husband as well. And I just pray that you continue to be with Cammie's dad in the hospital, that you would just allow this day to be a good day, that his lungs would start working better, that the pneumonia would go away, and any other infection he might have would be taken care of, and that, Father, he'd be able to go home very soon. We thank you, Father, that you are the great physician. And, Father, we trust in you and your timing in our lives. And, Father, I also pray for Brother Ben this morning as he starts chemo tomorrow, that you would help him with the pain that he's been in. And I just pray that your grace and your mercy, your joy, your comfort would be very abundant. And I pray you bless his family, Lord, and encourage them today and this week. And Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. How many here have a spiritual gift? If you're saved, raise your hand. Okay. If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. How many in here know what it is? Know what your spiritual gift is? Okay. You do have a spiritual gift if you are saved, and it is important that we know what that spiritual gift is. Do others around you have the same gift as you? Not necessarily. Possibly, not necessarily. And I was thinking about this, it's important as we consider our spiritual gift. God doesn't give it to us to be prideful. It's for the purpose of serving. And there are times that you'll be, and it's for the church body. You know, all the members provide something to this body, and it's nothing to be prideful about what God has done for you. But there are times that you'll be working with others in the church that don't have the same gift as you. And so sometimes it can be frustrating. Why aren't they as excited? Why aren't they doing this, putting all the energy in this? Just consider this one example. Let's see, you have three people. One has maybe the gift of administration, be able to organize and figure things out and put things in order and just can see things that need to be done, can get things organized and do that. And let's see, you have someone that has that gift, someone that has the gift of serving, and they're just, whatever you want, whatever needs to be done, I'll do that. Maybe someone else has the gift of giving, and those three people are all working together on a project here in church. There's the horn again. This place is, yeah, During Sunday school, the horns go off here. So, so you have those three people that are working together on a project. What could be some issues that might come up? Let's say it's on a getting ready for a conference, getting ready for a big meal, getting ready for a special service that we're having. What could be some issues that could come up between those three people? All right, so they may be willing to give, whether making food or even give money or give like that. But as far as planning things, you know, just tell me what you need me to bring, and I'll bring it. Tell me what time you need me to be there, when I need to drop stuff off, and they'll have it there. The person that has the gift of serving may not have any organizational skills necessarily, and you're wondering, this needs to be done. Well, just tell me what needs to be done. Don't get mad at me. What do you need me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you need me to do? Just point me in the right direction, and they'll do that. With a person that maybe has a gift of administration, they could get frustrated at maybe others that, hey, you're not seeing what needs to be done here. Why do you need to be told to do this? Where you've got that gift, and God's given that to you. So it's important as you understand what your gift is. And you may experience, maybe you don't know what your gift is, but you experience some of those frustrations. Maybe that's because you have a particular gift, others don't, and you just haven't figured that out yet. So it's important to, as you're working together in a church with others, understand that they have different gifts than you have. There's things that they do better than you do because God's gifted them that way. They're providing something that you can't provide in as easy as way as they can. But does God ever ask us to do something without equipping us for the task? Okay, what verses prove that? What are some verses that would prove that point? Or illustrate that point even? Okay, the story of Moses in the burning bush. God gave him the responsibility to do something. He had all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do it, but God gave him all sorts of resources. Okay, all sorts of things. He took away all of his excuses and provided all that was needed for him to do it. And even when he continued to try to get out of it, God gave him his brother and said, listen, he'll provide some things that you need. So that's one example. What else? Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 16, every joint supplieth. We'll look at that verse a little bit later on this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Anyone have that verse memorized? Faithful is he that calleth you. How's the last part of that verse go? Who also will do it. Okay, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Romans 4, verse number 21. Here God gave Abraham a promise. In verse number 20, it says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I mean, the promise was they're going to have a child. He was too old. Sarah was too old. Their bodies were as good as dead. How good is a dead body in producing offspring? Okay, not very good. But he says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Not that what he had promised Abraham was able to perform, but God was able to perform that. God was able to work in his life to bring that promise to pass. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number, Philippians 2 in verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God does that. God gives you the will, gives you the desire, gives you the drive to do something. And then he also gives you the power, gives you the ability to do that. We have the Great Commission. Okay, what power do we have to fulfill the Great Commission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All power. We have all authority, according to Matthew 28, and we have all the power we need, according to Acts 1, verse 8. So God provides both of those for us. So he never gives us a task without equipping us to see that fulfilled. And so when we consider spiritual gifts within a church body, how are those gifts, in how many different ways are those gifts manifested? Whoa. If you could put a number on it. Could you put a number on it? Probably not. It could be expressed in enormous different capacities where even people with the same gift, the manifestation of that gift of how it's, God's using it in their life may be very different. You get two people with the gift of serving, and what they're doing could be very, very different. Okay, so similar, they could be, general similarities between how they're manifested, but they could be manifested in so many different ways. So you could have the same gift as the person sitting next to you, but you're serving in completely different capacities. So that's important to understand, that when you understand what your gift is, it's not just one little thing that God's got for you. Okay, it can be many different things. Okay, if you were, a finger. Okay, just using the illustration of a body, how many things can a finger do? You can do a lot of different things. How many things, different things can a knee do? Okay, it doesn't just bend. Okay, it kneels. Okay, it hits things. It does a lot. It moves things. It pushes things. So God can use the gift that you have in many different ways. In our passage that we're looking at this morning, we see the Trinity involved in the potential that you have as a believer, as a member of this body. The potential you have is because of the whole Trinity is involved in that. Now, what verses within the passage that we read this morning, within our main verses, where do we see the Trinity? What verses in? Okay, 5-7. I need to turn back to the passage here. Verse number 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Let's start with verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So all three persons of the Godhead are involved in spiritual gifts. So the first one there, the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In verse number 11, it says, "Then all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So it's the Holy Spirit that decides which gifts you have. And it's probably gifts, not just one gift. You have a gift for sure, but you may have multiple gifts. But it's the Holy Spirit that decides that gives that to you as he wills, not as you will. Okay? So there's a big, in the charismatic movement today of, you need to speak in tongues. Well, even in Paul's day, the Holy Spirit gave that to whom he will. It wasn't something that they chose to do, something that they worked themselves up, that they had to prove, that had to experience in order to prove that they were saved. None of that. It was something that the Holy Spirit gave to them as he will. So at the moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He gives you a gift according to his will. Then there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, the word administrations comes from the same word we get the word, same root word as deacon, or think about the work of a deacon, the work of a ministry, a service that's done. So there are differences of administrations, differences of ministries, different services, different places that you can see something that God can use you at. But it says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So as you humble yourself and you follow the Lord and you submit to His Lordship, there are different ministries and services where He will use those gifts at. This word, administrations, we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. So we see one example of these differences of administrations. In verse number 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." So that word ministering here is from the same word as administrations. There are differences of administrations. So here in 2 Corinthians 9, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." So what ministering to the saints is he talking about here in context of chapter 8, chapter 9? What's the subject matter? Okay, love offering for the saints. Money that was being gathered up in order to take to the... what was going on in Jerusalem to the poor saints, what was happening there. So Paul was traveling around gathering this gift. Starting in verse number 1 of the previous chapter, he talks about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, and that even though they were in great trial of affliction, they were in great poverty, they still wanted to give towards this need. Great passage. Again, we've looked at this for in the matter of faith promise missions. So giving, so this is the context, giving. Giving is one of the gifts, one of the spiritual gifts is giving. So for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So this church was ministering to the saints. That was an area of service, an area of ministry that they had, that they took on. They're going to help these believers. That was one of their ministries, one of their acts of service. Now, did every member of the church at Corinth have the gift of giving? Probably not. Giving is a responsibility of every believer. But there are those that have the gift of giving. But that was one ministry that they had. If you look down at verse number 12, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." So the word administration there, verse number 12, is the same word here in our text. And then also in verse number 13, administration is again the same word. So here's a ministry that this church was doing to these other saints. And what did it accomplish? I talked about the abundant thanksgivings, many thanksgivings unto God. There was a liberal distribution given to them. So we have all these blessings that are happening that were the result, were the outcome of their doing this service. Many blessings as a result of that. And Romans 15, verse 31, Paul is in the same context, writing to a different group of people. He says that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. So he was collecting these funds, going to head to Jerusalem, and that word service there is the same word, that there are differences of administrations with the same Lord. So here was a service, again, the context taking these funds to the saints there in Jerusalem, taking this offering there. But he called it my service. It was an area of ministry. What types of ministries, what areas of ministries do we have currently, or what areas of ministries could a church have? But just think of the ministries that we do have here at Cornerstone. Music. Okay, that's one area of ministry. And within that area of ministry, there's different areas of ministry. Okay, there's those that can play the piano, play the organ, play different instruments. There are those that help organize music, get things, you know, into folders, and so that when the choir sings, everything's there. There's the song director. There are those that work in the sound ministry, which is part of that, but also part of other things that are needed. So there's lots of different areas of ministry within that larger ministry. What else? Okay, gifts of help. So how what area of ministry would that be maybe seen in here, specific ministry that we have? Okay. What else? Okay. Okay, hospitality. So people that come from work, missionaries coming through. The males are staying in the missions apartment this week. So just showing hospitality to them. That's in the area of ministry, having the missions apartment available. That's a ministry, and those that work in having things supplied for that, that's an area of ministry. Okay, was there another hand? Yeah.
Is helps and hospitality, are they the same?
Not necessarily.
No, okay.
They could be.
How about seen. Edifying?
To edify others? Okay, for Jordan?
Sunday school.
Sunday school is a specific ministry. So we have a lot of teachers that work in there, a lot of helpers that work. What else?
Preaching and teaching. Outreach. Okay, the outreach ministries. There's a lot of different aspects of that. The nurseries. Okay, that's a ministry of the church that a lot of our ladies participate in. Okay, that is an area of service. So there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So all kinds of ministries that a church can have. And because of the gifts that God's given to you, God can, as you submit yourselves to the Lordship of Christ, He will direct you and help you in those different ministries. Was there another? Okay. So there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And then there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So this word operations speaks of the effect, what's wrought, what's the outcome of something. So Spirit, by His will, gives you a gift. As you submit to the Lord in your life, He directs you to different areas of ministry within a church to be able to exercise that gift. And the result of that, whether it's encouragement, whether it's diapers getting changed, whether it's floors getting vacuumed or toilets getting cleaned, whether it's the lawn getting mowed, whether it's having fresh sheets on a bed for a missionary, or whether it's people understanding what a lesson that you're teaching. And they understand it, and then they can apply that to their life, and their lives change because of the effect of what God did through you. As God works, the outcome of the working of that gift can be different. If you got the gift of giving, someone else has a gift of giving, and you're both exercising that, the result of that, the outcome of that, could be different, depending on how God wants to use it. If you look at verse number, back in our text, 1 Corinthians 12, and look at verse number 10, the word working here, to another, the working of miracles. That word working is from this word here, operations. Who determines when Paul was doing miracles, Peter was doing miracles, when God gave them the gift of healing, who brought about the effect? Okay, it wasn't Paul and Barnabas. It was God that worked through them. It was God that brought the healing, or whether it was someone being made, being able to see again, being able to walk again, being raised from the dead, being healed of the palsy or some other issue. It was God that did that. So the gift is not, the gift is not in itself the purpose. That's not the goal of, as a believer, the goal is that you have a gift. That's not the purpose. That's just a means which the Spirit can use to minister to others and work through you. He's given that to you so that as you submit to the Lord and in your life, as you strive in a ministry, then He can work through you. That's kind of the funnel that He can use to bless and work within this church through you. So it's not the product, but the means of delivering what God wants to do to a church body. So important, it's important that we do understand what our spiritual gift is, but if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you shouldn't be full of grief and everything and frustrated that you don't know. It's a matter of your purpose in your life ought to be spiritual maturity, so strive for spiritual maturity in your life. Set that as a priority of understanding and knowing the Scriptures and then serving the Lord as everyone, we're all supposed to be serving. But as you're serving the Lord, as you're working in the church, as you see needs, when you sense a need in the church that's not being satisfied, try to meet it. Maybe God is trying to show you, listen, here's a need. And you'll find out that you're just the person that I've equipped to fulfill that need. So when you, if you don't know what your gift is, just jump in with both feet and just serve and look for areas that you see something's lacking. And maybe then you'll understand, okay, God's really given me a gift for this. I can do this. If you know a lost person, do all that you can to bring them to Christ. We all ought to be doing that. But as you do that, maybe God will show you, listen, you've got a gift for this. Occupy yourself in serving the Lord by meeting the needs that you see around you. And then God will show you what your gift is. He'll help you understand that. Why might the Lord maybe delay in having you understand what your gift is? What might be a reason for that? Or would there be a reason where maybe you just don't understand what your gift is for a time? What might be a reason?
Your life from either I confess sin or just not putting the effort in to know God better, to know God better.
Okay. So if you're not spiritually able to perform that, let's say someone's newly saved and God gives them the gift of teaching. They've been saved for a week. They're not going to be teaching a Sunday school class. It's going to take some time for them to grow, for them to learn the Scriptures, and then over time, God might show them, listen, you have this gift. You're able to take the Scriptures and teach them in such a way that people understand what it says, and then they'll start looking for opportunities to be able to do that. It may not be in a Sunday school class. It may be out witnessing. It may be in a jail ministry or a nursing home ministry, or just being a blessing, being a helper in a Sunday school class and just answering questions that the teacher asks. And then as they answer those questions, people are like, well, wow, that makes sense. You know, what he said, that really clears things up. So God may take some time for you to get to the point where you understand what that gift is, but you ought to just have a desire to learn, to minister and serve one another. And as you do that, God will show you what your gift is. If you look over in Galatians, what do we have in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23? The fruit of the Spirit. Are the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, are they the same thing? No. Okay, they're not. Gifts of the Spirit can be different for every believer. The fruit of the Spirit is the same for every believer. There's no exception. Fruit of the Spirit. We all are to have that. Gifts of the Spirit are related to ministry to others, where the fruit of the Spirit really is the Holy Spirit working in us and really changing us, changing who we are, changing our character, and that it does come out in how we relate to others. But it's God really working in us. The gifts of the Spirit are classified as far as in relation to church ministries, of you serving in the church. But the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, it's essential in every aspect of life. We are to have the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit can be abused. They can be, they can cause offenses. They can cause division. How can that happen? How can the gifts of the Spirit cause division?
They might want another person's gift that they don't have.
Right.
Because it's more ostentatious. It's more charismatic.
Okay.
Someone might have a gift and let everyone know, listen, I've got the gift of teaching. You're really dumb. You can't figure things out. You need to listen to me. And have a completely wrong spirit about it. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches all of us. But you don't, as a believer, the Holy Spirit will teach you and show you what God's Word means. But there are those that are gifted as teachers that are able to explain some things. Well, that person, if they grow prideful in that, it will cause division. Only by pride cometh contentions. So gifts can bring division when they're abused. But the fruit of the Spirit, if they're truly authentic, how are you going to use it badly? it's not going to happen. No Christian has all the gifts, but every believer has the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the fruit, not the fruits. It's the fruit of the Spirit. No single gift is obligated for all believers. God doesn't require you to have the gift of tongues. God doesn't require you to have the gift of teaching or the gift of giving, but the fruit of the Spirit is commanded. It's to be part of your life. You are to be filled with the Spirit, and you are to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And so when we consider the Christian life, as you exercise the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is going to come out as you're exercising those gifts. Both the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit show that the Holy Spirit is within you, is evidence of salvation. And as you grow in maturity, as you grow to be more like Christ, those gifts and that fruit is going to be manifested more and more and edify others and magnify Christ through us. When we consider the text that we looked at this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, what other texts in the Bible? And we only looked at part of 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 deal with spiritual gifts, and we'll look at that later at a later time. But what other, besides 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, what other passages do we see spiritual gifts listed or referenced? Okay, Romans 12. Okay, so turn over to Romans 12. We're told in the first few verses to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not to be conformed to the world. Verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Very clear delineation of some gifts here. And we're going to look at that passage more in detail. But important, it's an important passage, a lot of important principles in that passage in relation to spiritual gifts. What other passage or passages? One verse was mentioned earlier, part of a passage, Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4, and starting at verse number 7, and we'll look down through verse number 16. Ephesians 4, verse number 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Very important passage of Scripture. We looked at this not too long ago as we were going through Ephesians. But how important there in verse number 16, the whole body, speaking of a church body, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, every church member, the Holy Spirit is working in you, God's working in you, Christ is working in you for the purpose of edifying itself, for the purpose of the increase of the body, for the effectual working in the measure of every part. God wants to work through you to supply the needs of the rest of the body. So you have a part to play. We all deal with issues in our own physical bodies. You know, we wish certain parts worked better. We wish, you know, there weren't pains in certain parts. We wish, our foot didn't feel so bad, or our hand worked a little bit better, or our eyes worked a little bit better. And so we have body parts that aren't working as we wish they would work, or they're getting worse as we get older. Within a church body, we've got something far better than our physical bodies have. You know, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. So as we get older, we ought to be getting better. As we get older, we ought to get to the point where we come to the point, as he mentioned here in verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. So we'll get to the point, instead of needing to put on reading glasses, now we can see perfectly. I can smell perfectly. I can run perfectly. Everything works perfectly. Everything works wonderfully. I can hear things how I'm supposed to hear. I can do things as I'm supposed to do. That doesn't happen as we grow older physically in our physical bodies. But as a church grows older, because we have the gifts of the Spirit within us, that's how a church ought to be doing. A church ought not to get worse and worse over time. It ought to be getting better and better. When a church gets worse and worse over time, it's because the members are not exercising their gifts. Oh, that's one of the reasons, at least. One more passage. Can you think of another passage that deals with spiritual gifts? There's probably more than that, but one more we'll look at this morning. 1 Peter 4. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. And we'll start with verse number 7. 1 Peter 4, verse number 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch under prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So another very important, a lot of very good principles in this passage of Scripture. But just quickly looking at verse number 10, "As every man hath received the gift." How did you receive your spiritual gift? What's that? I thought it was given to us. How much do you have to pay for it? You didn't have to pay for it. It was freely given. Even so, minister the same one to another. It was given by grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 talks about the grace given to the Church of Macedonia that was giving. Okay, it's the grace given. That means we don't deserve it. There may be those in the church, we say, well, they don't deserve me to help them. They don't deserve me to give towards this need. They don't deserve me to use my gift for them. Listen, as you have received, even so, in like manner, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you don't use your gifts as God's given them to you, you're not being a good steward. So these gifts are important. And so we're going to expound some of the principles in these passages. We're going to look at the different gifts that there are, and we will give you a test as well. There's 100, and for the ladies, 140 question test. For the guys, 160 question test. So it's an easy test. Just yes, no, or maybe. Those are the answers for all the things. But we're going to take a test maybe to help you maybe see maybe what your gift is or what your gifts are. But any questions or comments this morning before we close? Brother Brandon?
It's a good, guys, it's a division, but aggravation, like, because others don't have it. So can you exercise your gift in the flesh?
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, it's not spirit-led, obviously, but I think someone might have the gift of giving, let's say, and someone else has the gift of giving, and they see so-and-so write a check for $1,000, I'm going to write a check for $1,200. I want to make sure I'm the biggest giver here. I think you could exercise things in the, do something in the flesh, but it's not going to be used of the Spirit to bless, I don't believe. I believe you could use, I know there's been people that have the gift of teaching and have used it in the wrong way, gift of preaching, use it in the wrong way, gifts of exhortation, use it in the wrong way, done things in the flesh. So I think it could. But again, I don't think it won't be Spirit-blessed.
I would just add to that that there has been, I know church members that have certain gifts, but in their job they can use them and I don't know, makes them better, enhances them. But they're very good in their job because they have that gift that
right.
They use in the church. So
yeah, so it can be used outside of, you know, it can be used in your life to minister to everyone, but it's meant, you know, they're meant within the church body, but part of the church ministry is outreach, is working on others, and so God will use that in your lives outside of a church building, outside the church context as well. Right, any others? All right, well, let's close in prayer. Lord, I do pray you bless your word. I pray you bless just our understanding of these gifts and how you work in our lives, and I pray that you'd help each one in here to know what their gift is, and then Lord, seek opportunities to be able to be used by you in different ministries of the church, different needs that there are, and that Father, through that, you would, the body would be edified,